Our gospel lesson this morning is Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they may go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. O risen Christ, today we pray that you would open us to the power of your resurrection. As we have read it told in Scripture, and now we hear it proclaimed anew to us this day, may we also be lifted up so we may rise to new life in you as we respond to your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We have been preaching through the Gospel of Mark throughout the Lenten season, actually beginning back in January. And today marks the 12th and final week of our series of messages. And so as we have made our journey through this gospel, we have been introduced to this man Jesus. We have been told that he is the Son of God and that he is the Christ, the Messiah. We have watched Jesus as he called disciples and walked alongside them, healing the sick, casting out demons, walking on the waters of the Galilean Sea. We've seen Jesus perform miracle after miracle that give us testimony to who he is. And then we came to the last week of his life, and as Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem with his disciples, he tells them on three occasions what is going to happen when he gets there. He says, "Guys, we are headed to Jerusalem. And when I get there, I am going to be betrayed and handed over, where I will be beaten and I will die. But on the third day, I will rise again." And every time Jesus has told his disciples this, they seem to not understand. They don't get it. And last Sunday, we picked up with that final week with Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphant entry into the holy city to celebrate the Passover, as many pilgrims would. Jesus is heralded as a king. He comes riding into town on a donkey as people wave palm branches and declare him to be a king following the lineage of David. And rightfully so, that is who Jesus is, but he doesn't act like it. He goes to the temple, turns around, and goes back to the Mount of Olives, leaving the city for a moment. And then we came to church on Thursday, and we recalled Jesus' final meal with his disciples when he gathered in an upper room. They gathered together to celebrate Passover. And in the context of that Passover meal, Jesus redefines for them their story. You see, the Passover taught the Jewish people about how God had delivered them through the Exodus, leading them across the Red Sea into the wilderness, and eventually, after 40 years, into the Promised Land. And Jesus takes the elements of the Passover meal, he takes two of them, and he redefines them. He takes the bread, and he takes the cup, and he points them to his cross. And he says, this is the new covenant that God is making with his people. Jesus is, in essence, telling his disciples that it is through his sacrificial death on the cross that God will bring redemption. And then on Good Friday, we gathered in here and we walked through the readings from the passion narratives of the Gospels of Mark and Luke and John. And we stood by the cross, remembering, proclaiming that Christ has died. And Christ is risen. And Christ will come again. And now here we are this morning, on the third day. And we remember that on that Good Friday, though, it looked like defeat. It looked like Jesus' story would end right here, that his life mission would have its final chapter be a grave, a tomb, a dead end. A stone rolled over the entrance. Game over. Y'all, we know what it's like to hit a dead end in life, don't we? We all have Fridays that aren't very good. We have setbacks. Something happens in our life that we didn't expect. We get discouraged. And we also have Saturdays, just like the one we had yesterday, where it looks like nothing is happening. Remember, Jesus was in the tomb on Saturday, and it appeared as though God was silent. There are days, maybe even seasons in our life, when it seems like nothing is happening. There are a lot of Friday and Saturday experiences in life, moments when we reach a dead end. For some of us, it may be the experience of the death of a loved one. Maybe you've lost someone recently. It could have been your spouse. It might have been a child, a friend, or a parent. Your grief has become an overwhelming setback in your life that seems impossible for you to get beyond. Maybe you've had the experience of the death of a dream. Something you thought you would achieve in life, but you didn't get the job that you wanted. Things didn't work out how you planned. There's a setback, maybe in your financial plan. Your business has slowed down. You're at a dead end, and you're not sure what move to make. Maybe you experienced a relationship that went south. Maybe you thought there was a marriage to come, but she broke it off, or he broke it off. There is tremendous disappointment. Maybe You remember back to that day when you stood at the altar and you made that vow, till death do us part, but something happened that led to the end of the marriage. You see, we all had Good Friday experiences. You think to yourself, you know, it's never going to get better. Here we go again. But don't believe those lies. You see, this dead end means that God has something better coming for you. It's coming. You've got to stay in faith. You've got to walk by faith and not by sight, as the scriptures say. We know the stone can be rolled away. We know that the door can be opened, because we serve a God of the possible, of the new thing. And on Easter, God does a new and marvelous thing. He opens a door into the future. And it's better than we can even imagine. Your setback and your dead end is not the epilogue of your story. There is another chapter that God is writing. It may be a painful season that you're going through, but hang in there. The best part of your life is not behind you, but ahead of you. The best part of your life is the next part of your life. You know, you wouldn't be discouraged over that dead end in your life if you knew what God was about to do. You see, the women, they go to the tomb early that morning to anoint Jesus' body. For them, this was the end. They go to the grave to anoint the body for burial. And as they go, there's this question that's lingering in their minds. What is the question that Mark tells us that they're thinking about? Who will roll away the stone for us? You see, the stone over the entrance of Jesus' tomb would have been this massive stone that would have been nearly impossible for a couple of, don't take this the wrong way, for a couple of women to move. It probably would have taken several men and possibly a few women telling them how to do it to get it over the tomb in the first place. But when they get there, what do they notice has happened? The stone had already been rolled back. And you know, we're left thinking, how did that happen? How did that stone get rolled back? Well, we know how. At least it's implied in the story that God has rolled away the stone. But the question is, why did God roll away the stone? Why did he do that? Was it so that Jesus could get out of the tomb? That doesn't really seem possible, does it? Because we know that Jesus is God in the flesh, and he can do the impossible. There is nothing that is too big too daunting of a task that Jesus can't accomplish. And we know that after Jesus' resurrection, that his body was different, that he could just appear in certain places. He does it in the post-resurrection stories. He appears and disappears whenever he wants. And so Jesus didn't need for the stone to be rolled back so that he could get out. So then why did God do it? So the women could go in. So that they could go into the tomb and see that it was empty. To see that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so, when they get there, the stone's rolled back, what do? They go in. They see, but something isn't quite right. They search the tomb and they don't find Jesus' body. Imagine searching around in that tomb in the darkness of the early morning, maybe just a small flickering little lamp of light to shine in the recesses of those niches, crevices of that cave. This situation leaves them wondering. They don't find a body. They are in a desperate situation. Sometimes we are left wondering the same thing. What's going on? Why does it feel like I'm searching around in an endless dark place for answers? While those women are perplexed by what they find or don't find in the tomb, a young man is dressed in white, sitting at the right near where Jesus' body would have been. And he says, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He's not here." Surprised. But look, here's the place where his body was. Y'all, here's the powerful truth about Easter. That our dead end can become God's new beginning. This is true for Jesus. It's true for these women. And it's true for you and me as well. You and I may be staring into an empty tomb of our own, and we may see nothing changing in our life. But when you see nothing, I believe that God is up to something. What we need is a breakthrough. And the women, they have a breakthrough at that tomb when they see that it's empty and they hear the message proclaimed, "He's not here, he's risen." And in that moment, later we know that they will remember what Jesus said to them. Our dead end can become God's new beginning. You see, throughout the post-resurrection stories, Jesus reminds his followers that he is not dead, but indeed, he is alive. And each of these followers of Jesus, they have a moment of revelation in their life when their eyes are open and their hearts are strangely warm, and they know that they know that they know that their Redeemer is alive. You see, Jesus meets them each in their own circumstance, right where they are, right in their desperation, right in their brokenness and their grief. Their hearts get open to faith. And when they reach a dead end, God opens a door. You know, I can remember in my own life the first time I really had an Easter experience. I was a teenager. And I came to a place in my life and I was broken. I had ran away from God. I was as far away from God as I could be. And there was this gnawing emptiness inside of my soul. There was a desperation inside of me. I had no purpose. I had no idea where my life was taking me. My life was a miserable wreck. But I remember so plainly that I wanted something better. I wanted things to be different for me. I wanted a new life. I wanted a do-over, a fresh start, but I didn't know how. But one night, something began to stir inside of me. You see, there were some seeds that got planted in my life. The prevenient grace of God had been working in my life because I had a friend that had been inviting me to go to church with him, to the youth group, and I made some trips with them, and God began to plant some seeds. And one night, one of those seeds sprouted. And I knelt down in my bedroom and I gave my life to Christ. And I took that journey, the first steps of it, out of the tomb, from death to life. You see, there was a stone of impossibility standing between me and the future, between me and God, between me and the purpose that God had for my life. And I stood there and I wondered, how will this thing ever be removed? And God did it. God did that for me. And y'all, I've had many times throughout my nearly 30-year walk with Christ where he has showed up and done what only he can do in my life. And I dare say there's many of you that sit here this morning and you have a very similar story. There are some of you sitting here this morning and say, I wish that was my story. I wish God would do that in my life. Y'all, I want to say to you this morning, my encouragement to you is don't get stuck on Friday. Sunday is coming. Get ready for God to do something new. Your story does not end in defeat. It doesn't end in a grave. It ends in victory and you accomplishing your dreams and fulfilling the purposes that God has put in your heart. It ends with you whole. It ends with you at peace. It ends with you in eternal life. It ends with you being a blessing to others. If you'll stay in faith. What was meant for your harm, God will use it to your advantage. It is God who has the final word. Even mistakes don't have to stop you. God has already taken that into account, and he is saying, it's not over. I'm going to finish what I started. When we reach a dead end, the Lord may be about to open a door. He may be about to roll a stone away. All we may see is an impossible situation, a grave, a darkness, but God sees a new beginning. God sees resurrection. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Lord, sometimes we don't know what to say. We stand in holy awe, Lord, or just plain old awe of you. God, we pray today that you would show up and do what only you can do in our lives. Lord, I pray for the ones here this morning who are discouraged and lacking faith. For those who are facing the stones of confusion and grief and doubt. I pray that you would remind them of who you are. Make real for them and all of us the amazing Easter news that you are alive. God, today we praise you that that tomb was empty. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross and dying for our sins. Thank you for showing me how deep the Father's love is for us. Thank you for loving us when we aren't very lovable. Thank you for rising and ascending into your glory to give us hope now and hope for the future. Help us to trust you, Jesus. Help us to believe that you can do the impossible in our lives. Help us to believe it today. Lord, we open our hearts to you. And we invite you in to be Lord, to give us life in you. Life like we've never experienced before. Would you do that for us today? We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Dear friends, thank you so much for joining us on this Easter Sunday for worship. It has been a joy to spend the day with you. I invite you, those that would have family here with you, that you could come over to the Family Life Building immediately following the service for our family ministry event and egg hunt. So please don't drift off just yet. Stick around a while longer with us today. I want to send you forth with this benediction. Christ is risen. Go forth in joy. From darkness to despair, go to share Christ's joy and hope. Christ is risen. Go forth in faith. From doubt and betrayal, go to walk in faith and fidelity. Christ is risen. Go forth to live. From suffering and death, go and be God's agents of healing in the world as you proclaim the glorious news of Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Go in his grace and peace. Amen.